ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So today we are reading the final verses of chapter 18 of the sixth canto. Chapter 18 is titled Diti Vows to Kill Indra. We are reading from text 75 to 78. What's listed on the board is text 78. However, only text 75 contains a purport, so I'll speak on 75. So I'll first read 75 and finally we'll repeat this verse. Aradhyatma pradam devam svatmanam jagat ishvaram kovrinita gunasprasham buddhasyan narakepiyat. Translation. The ultimate goal of all ambitions is to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an intelligent man serves the most dear Lord, who gives himself to his devotees, how can he desire material happiness which is available even in hell? Purport. An intelligent man will never aspire to become a devotee to achieve material happiness. That is the test of a devotee. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki tvai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your costless devotional service, birth after birth. A pure devotee never begs the Lord for material happiness in the shape of riches, followers, a good wife, or even mukti. The Lord promises, however, yogakshemam vahamyaham, I voluntarily bring everything necessary for my service. Text 76. Tad idam mama daurjanyam balishasya mahiyashi kshantum arhasi matastvam dishtya garbo mritohita. Translation. O my mother, O best of all women, I am a fool. Kindly excuse me for whatever offenses I have committed. Your 49 sons have been born unhurt because of your devotional service. As an enemy, I cut them to pieces, but because of your great devotional service, they did not die. Text 77. Sri Shuka Uvacha Indras Tayabhiyanujitayabhiyanujyataha Shuddhabhavena Tushtaya Marudbihi Sahatam Natva Jagama Tridivyam Prabhu. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, Diti was extremely satisfied by Indra's good behavior. Then Indra offered his respects to his aunt with profuse obeisances, and with her permission he went away to the heavenly planets with his brothers, the Maruts. Text 78. Evam te sarvam akhyatam yanmam tvam paripricchasi Mangalam Marutam Janma Kimbuyaha Katayamite Evam Te Sarva Akhyatam Yanmam Tvam Paripritchasi Mangalam Marutam Janma Kimbuyaha Katayamite Evam Te Sarvam Akhyatam Yanmam Tvam Paripratchasi Mangalam Marutam Janma Kimbuyaha Katayamite Evam, thus, te, to you, sarvam, all, akhyatam, narrated, yat, which, mam, me, tvam, you, paripruchasi, asked, mangalam, auspicious, marutam, of the maruts, Janma, the birth. Kim, what? Bhuyaha, further. Katayami, shall I speak? Te, to you. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, I have replied as far as possible to the questions you've asked me, especially in regard to this pure, auspicious narration about the Maruts. Now you may inquire further and I shall explain more. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports, the 6th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Diti Vows to Kill King Indra. Umagyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantiknam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damodaya Nagara Grama Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Danadase Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Guruntarinam Yat Kripatamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Viparitam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So yesterday in text 74, Prabhupada in his purport he quoted the Akama Sarva Kama Moksha Kama Udharati verse, where the translation of the text 74 goes like this: although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not want even liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. And so while quoting that verse, the verse essentially explains that even if one wants wants material desires to be fulfilled, still the solution is to practice tivrena bhakti yogena. Now it's interesting that generally we understand that to attain pure devotional service, or to attain Krishna prema rather, let me clarify, it's to attain Krishna prema one needs to practice pure devotional service. So this one needs to practice pure devotional service in a, which is ahaituki and apratihata, which is uninterrupted and unmotivated. So this tivrena bhakti yogena, we generally take it to understand, to refer to pure devotional service. But however, tivrena bhakti yogena is an essential component of whether you want all your material desires to be fulfilled, whether you want liberation, or whether you want Krishna prema. In either of these three goals, you still need to practice tivrena bhakti yogena. And we see that in the example of Dhruva Maharaj, who desired a kingdom bigger than Lord Brahma, and he practiced tivrena bhakti yogena under the instruction of Narada Muni. He was not practicing that to get Krishna prema. And if you notice, Dhruva Maharaj, what does that mean? It means that you have to practice devotional service exactly as you've been instructed. So Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj, instructed by a pure devotee. So Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj, and he practiced exactly as he was instructed. It's not that because he had a material desire and he was not in the line of, I mean, because he had material desire, therefore he thought, okay, let me meditate for a month, and after a month, let me go to a multiplex and watch a few movies or drink some coke, and then come back and renew my practice after a day or two. Because after all, Krishna says, yuktahara viharasya, so it doesn't matter. I can just indulge in a little bit of recreation. So that's not the mood in which Dhruva Maharaj practiced it. In fact, he practiced it exactly as he was instructed by Narada Muni, intensely. Now, of course, I brought up this verse about Yuktahara Viharasya. I did that deliberately because our method of practicing devotional service is not that we look at the scripture and we interpret it and we practice devotional service. Rather, our method of devotional service is we follow the scripture as explained to us by a pure devotee. So for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada is that acharya. Prabhupada is our founder acharya. He is that pure devotee. And all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, their practice of devotional service is based on the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada explains the Yuktahara Viharasya verse, he doesn't define that, okay, all right, you're getting up for Mangalarti, you're doing a lot of things. So therefore, I mean, you can watch a couple of movies or, I mean, just relax for a while, take it easy. He doesn't define it like that. So therefore, we have to take it exactly the way that Prabhupada has defined it. And the way Prabhupada defined Krishna consciousness is that we have to be Krishna conscious 24 hours of the day. Even while sleeping, we have to be Krishna conscious. So that's the definition that Prabhupada has given us of what is pure devotional service. And that is the standard to which we should measure up to. And in today's verse, Prabhupada quotes, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavatat bhaktir ahaituki twai. And Prabhupada says, any intelligent man will never aspire to become a devotee to achieve material happiness. That is the test of a devotee. So this expression, test of a devotee, is something that comes up repeatedly in Prabhupada's instructions. Because when we are practicing devotional service, we need to test whether we are actually advancing in Krishna consciousness or we are actually imagining that we are advancing. So, this is a symptom, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. As we practice pure devotional service, these desires, the desire to accumulate wealth, desire for beautiful women, and desire to have a number of followers, these diminish. And as Prabhupada explains, this is the test of a devotee. Now, this aspect of material desires diminishing can happen only by the practice of pure devotional service. Because pure devotional service, by its nature, you develop attraction to Krishna and you also develop detachment from material activities. The analogy is given. Prabhupada, in his purport to, in the sixth canto, the life of Ajamila, in the 15th chapter, you have the verse, Kechit kevalaya bhaktiya vasudeva parayanaha adam dunuvanti katsyena niharam iva bhaskaraha. Sorry. So, Prabhupada actually quotes, in his purport to this Bhagavatam text, Prabhupada explains, just like the sun, these days in winter, you have the fog in the morning. So when the sun rises, the fog dissipates. So from that we know that, for example, so the Prabhupada gives this example to say, just like the sun rises and it dissipates the fog, so when Krishna, practicing Krishna consciousness, the sun of Krishna rises in the heart and dissipates both our impious desires and our pious desires. It is not that process of Krishna consciousness, only our impious desires go away. But rather, even our so-called pious desires, even that goes away. For example, this one, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So this, the desire for dhanam, the desire for janam, the desire for sundarim. Now these are not considered impious. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These are considered pious. So what to speak of impious desires? By the process of Krishna consciousness, even the pious desires vanish. And Prabhupada says that is the test. It's like Krishna is compared to the sun. So when the sun rises, the fog dissipates. So if we are practicing Krishna consciousness properly, our material desires have to diminish. And Prabhupada quotes the verse, Bhakti Paresha Anubhava Viraktiranyata. Bhakti, from the 11th canto, Bhakti Paresha Anubhava and Viraktiranyata. So when one practices Krishna consciousness properly, Bhakti, devotion arises in the heart. Paresha Anubhava, one has direct experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Virakti, detachment from matter, arises in one's heart. So this is the, again Prabhupada in that purport says, this is the test of the Krishna consciousness. Generally, let's say in India, a country like India, you'd find a lot of devotees. It's not just us, you go into different parts of the country, you'll find different devotees. But they practice devotional service for material gain, but still, it is better than not being a devotee. So what distinguishes us from all the rest of us, from all the rest of them? So Lord Chaitanya's followers, it is explained that Mahaprabhu or Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan, that detachment from material activities, Mahaprabhu or Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan, the prominent characteristic of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is this detachment, this freedom from material desires. That is the prominent character. Mahaprabhu Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan, that is a prominent character. So that distinguishes us from the rest of the crowd. And so in the Bhagavatam, the example of the sun rising and the fog dissipating is given. Another example given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says, Chaitanya Simhera Avatara, which means Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, he's like a lion. Simhera Griva, which means his neck is like that of a lion. Simhera Virya, he has the power of a lion. Simhera Hunkara, he roars like a lion. And then he says, say Simha Vasuk, this Lord Chaitanya may reside where? Jivera Hridaya Kandare, may this lion reside in the hearts of the Jivas. Then he says, what is that? The next line, where he says that he says that by the, I forget the Bengali this thing, but he basically says Yanahara Hunkara, by which the by the roaring of the Lord Chaitanya, Kalmasha, he says the Kalmasha, the falls which are like an elephant, I forget the word for the elephant. And by the roaring of Lord Chaitanya in the hearts of the living entities, Kalmasha, the falls which are like an elephant, they vanish. So, especially we have this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Iti Shodashaka Namnam Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. So, Kali Yuga is an ocean of falls. So, the word Kalmasha means falls. So, to destroy the falls, we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and Lord Chaitanya, the roar of Lord Chaitanya. So if Lord Chaitanya is seated in our hearts, by his roar he can destroy the all the vices, Kalmasha. So again, this is another analogy with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives, which means that again, when we practice pure devotional service, the unnecessary things should go away, because otherwise, just like we had this Kartik month in we just celebrated Kartik month in Vrindavan, if you go, you'd see a lot of advertisements and advertising Bhagavata Saptaha. So while hearing Bhagavata Saptaha, it is not that people who hear Bhagavata Saptaha do not derive some attraction or do not feel some attraction for Krishna. They also feel some attraction for Krishna. But the difference is, as Prabhupada explains, that the speaker himself or the people themselves, when they go back home, they think, oh, let me indulge in some sense gratification. And Prabhupada gives the example that the speaker himself feels after giving the class, oh, let me go and smoke a bidi. So, but this is how, this is not a pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is characterized by this thing of no material desires. So by the practice of pure devotional service, our material desires are expected to diminish. And in one lecture, Prabhupada uses the expression, Krishna has monopolized this word bhakti. Basically, he's trying to say that nobody likes to do something in an unmotivated manner. Always there is a motivation. Whether any kind of dealing, there is always some kind of a motivation. So Prabhupada says, the only place where there is no motivation is bhakti. And Prabhupada says, Krishna has monopolized this word called bhakti. A very interesting way of putting it. And Prabhupada says, uses the expression that Krishna has monopolized this word bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya's followers are supposed to monopolize this word bhakti. This in the bhakti in that sense, that pure devotional service. So that is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today being Lochandas Thakur's appearance day, there are two things that I wanted to mention. That Lochandas Thakur sang a very famous song, Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nithai Gaur Chandra. He was singing about how merciful are the two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He says how these two are so merciful. If you search the entire universe, you cannot find somebody who is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And then he ends that song by singing, Pashupaki Jure Pashana Vidare, that even the birds and beasts, they sing in ecstasy. They cry in ecstasy. They hear the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pashana Vidare, which means even the rock can melt. So that is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that if one follows, one becomes a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then even the rock-like heart will melt. Although we are in Kali Yuga, and it's an ocean of fault, and we ourselves are filled with so many faults, but by taking full shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by following his instructions, which have been presented to us by Prabhupada, by sticking to that very strictly, we can notice that even our rock-like heart would melt. And Lochandas Thakur is also credited with writing the Chaitanya Mangal. And the Chaitanya Mangal is an important book, especially for the followers of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but especially for the followers of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mangala, Lochandas Thakur refers to a conversation where Lord Chaitanya says that when he's asked this question, that you spread the movement across India, and what happens, Bharat Bhumi, what happens across the rest of the world, what happens to the different parts of the world? So there, Lord Chaitanya responds by saying that he will send, the exact expression that he uses is, more Senapati Bhakta. That means the commander-in-chief among his associates. He would send the commander-in-chief among his associates to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya across the world. And so we see that Prabhupada was that commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And he showed us by his life and by his example and by his instructions that anything is possible. That is the outstanding contribution of Srila Prabhupada, that he showed us that by this practice of pure devotional service, that one can reach the highest perfection. And he showed us how people from all walks of life, irrespective of caste, creed, race, gender, from all across the world, people can actually take up to this process of Krishna consciousness. And now we may think, oh yeah, we have so many devotees and they're all over the world. But however, before Prabhupada went to the West, most people thought that this is poetic. When Lord Chaitanya says that my name would be sung in every town and village of the world, that's kind of a poetic speech. But however, it was Srila Prabhupada who actually showed that the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are true. And that is the nature in which we generally accept scripture, that whatever the scripture says is all perfectly true. So Prabhupada had that great faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. And not only was he a pure devotee, he could also show that he could make others pure devotees. So that is the greatness of pure devotee, that by he's like a touchstone, by his influence, by his instructions, he can make others into pure devotees. And in fact, that is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that you can identify a pure devotee by seeing how many pure devotees he has made. And Prabhupada has made a society, an international society of pure devotees. Of course, sometimes Prabhupada is asked this question, how many pure devotees are there in our movement? And then Prabhupada turned to his follower and asked, how many devotees are there in our movement? And then when he was told the number of devotees, he says, that many pure devotees. So sometimes we think that this pure devotional service is a very high platform, and we are supposed to come to that one day. But that's not the actual understanding of devotional, pure devotional service that we get from Prabhupada's books. Krishna Prema is up there, and we have to come to that Krishna Prema one day. But pure devotional service, here and now, there is no excuse for not practicing pure devotional service. So then we may think, okay, what about our material desires? So does that qualify us to be in the line of pure devotional service? It is not the material desires that count, but what is your goal? And are you strictly trying to follow the instructions of the pure devotees? Are you trying to follow strictly the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas? That is what defines whether we are practicing pure devotional service or not. Just like a school, you have nursery, then you have kindergarten, then you have first standard, then you have second standard, you go third standard, like that. Then you finally finish school, then you go to college, then you go to university, like that. So finally you get a PhD. But you have to begin somewhere. So Prabhupada has given us ISKCON. ISKCON is the school of pure devotional service. So you can begin at a kindergarten level. So how do you begin at that level? Whereby following strictly what Prabhupada has instructed us to do. And by following strictly, one becomes enthusiastic and one becomes attached to the process of pure devotional service. Prabhupada has given us a process. We rise early in the morning, we attend Mangala Arati, we chant japa, and we hear Bhagavatam class, we distribute books, we preach, we study his books. So he has given us a whole process of Krishna consciousness. And by practicing this process, we become enthusiastic. Prabhupada said, if you strictly follow the process that I have given, then you become very enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. And he also says, if you read my books seriously, then you'll never fall down. So you're constantly enthusiastic and you never fall down if we stick tightly, as Prabhupada is fond of using the expression, stick tightly to the instructions of the acharya. So if we stick tightly to the instructions that Prabhupada has given us, Then we are always enthusiastic. In Lochindas Thakur's songs, we say, Kevala Ananda Kanda. Is it imagination? Is it poetic speech? That the process of Krishna consciousness is Kevala Ananda Kanda. It is happiness from day one, in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. So everywhere it's full of happiness. Kevala Ananda Kanda. So Lochindas, our acharyas, they've not exaggerated. So when it says Kevala Ananda Kanda, it is a fact. And Prabhupada showed us that actually there is a lifestyle when Krishna says, Susukam Kartum Avyayam, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna Prabhupada actually practically demonstrated that if we practice this Krishna consciousness, It is a completely joyful process. And anybody can begin it from anywhere. One simply has to have that desire. I want to strictly follow. That's it. And from that point onwards, then one is just, if one sincerely tries to practice Krishna consciousness, then Lord Chaitanya, seated in our hearts, he by his roar will drive away all our material desires and our material affinities. And one day we'll come to this platform of Krishna Prema. In fact, Prabhupada explains, yesterday when I was preparing for this class, Prabhupada actually explains in one place, actually the devotees do not even desire to go back to Godhead. He says, Mama Janmani Janmani Shware. His devotee is willing to take birth after birth after birth. But he simply wants the association of devotees. So sometimes we think back to Godhead is our goal. Of course, that's nice. But the actual thing is to attain Krishna Prema. Because the point is to love Krishna. And that is the most selfless goal. Sometimes we think, oh, we won't attain Krishna Prema. Is that selfish? No, that is the most selfless goal. Because it encompasses everything in that. Because the person who is Krishna, I mean, a fully Krishna conscious, who has attained the level of Krishna Prema, he's fully selfless. And he has this desire to give this Prema to others. That's why Lord Chaitanya is called Mahavadanyaya. And he's the epitome of pure love for Krishna. So, Prabhupada has given us this process, and we're all fortunate. And this thing, Dhruva Maharaj, when it says that he attained Krishna consciousness and he could meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead in 6 months, we think, oh, 6 months is very short period of time. But yesterday I was reading one place where Prabhupada, he explains that if you practice Krishna consciousness with a material motivation, then you will still attain Krishna if you practice Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, but it will take time. Then he says, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he says. So Prabhupada says it will take time, then he says, just like Dhruva Maharaj. Well, we think 6 months is short, and Prabhupada is saying it will take time, just like Dhruva Maharaj. So, which means that practically even lesser than 6 months, we can attain the highest goal of life. So, I remember when I initially took to Krishna consciousness, the way devotees presented Krishna consciousness, I actually thought that maybe 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or few years, we would attain the highest goal of life. And as time progressed, then I began to wonder, oh, is it going to take such short time? Or because I remember devotees used to quote the story of Katwanga, and then he would say, okay, he attained Krishna consciousness even within a moment, you know. So it's possible they would say that. But then I would think, is it real? I mean, is it possible? But now I've realized that, okay, I may have been so many years in Krishna consciousness, but still, it is very much possible that it is a question of that eagerness. And if we practice Krishna consciousness with that eagerness, then as Prabhupada says, even Dhruva Maharaj, it took a long time, 6 months. Okay, so I think I'll stop here. And if there are any comments or questions. Sorry, I'm normally a fast speaker. So I apologize for having spoken fast. Yes, Prabhu.
To come back here. He said, why? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling this Mam Janmani Janmani. He is telling this is for eternally liberated soul. They want to come back. But we are not eternally liberated soul. We are conditioned souls. So Maya is very strong. Better not to think even to come back here. Better in this birth system we should go back home, back to Godhead. Because we are conditioned souls. So this even means myself I realize that I am conditioned soul. And then very dangerous here, of course, because you can see the situation. Even when we are in the any dhamma, even how much disturbance is there. I mean, yesterday I was speaking to very elevated devotee here, so I understood there's a lot of disturbance. Even in the dhamma, lot of disturbance is there. Mind is getting disturbed sometimes. So much quarreling, fighting going on. So then really if it is what Prabhupada said, then understood that better to go back home, back to Godhead, because we cannot absorb all these things, you know, in this being, particularly for me, means conditioned soul like me. I cannot absorb all these things very easily. I cannot take in a positive way.
Okay, so again, here you are speaking about due to disturbances, it's better to go back to Godhead. And so again, I mean, Prabhupada explains that even there are three kinds, akama, sarvakama, and mokshakama. So because there are disturbances, it does not mean that, okay, we desire, okay, let's go back to Godhead. Prabhupada has encouraged us that this is a place of, there are different levels of instruction. That is also, there's nothing wrong. Okay, going back to Godhead is definitely a good goal. It's not that it's not. But when one attains the stage of Krishna Prema, he doesn't even care for that. Like Prabhupada, he undertook so many difficulties. He's come from directly from the spiritual world. When he was trying to establish the Krishna consciousness movement, in the hot summer in Delhi, he once fainted on the street. Practically, he had no support, two heart attacks on the ship. And then he went to goes to America, and very difficult conditions. He had to encounter all these different things, but he didn't care, because he was a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and Prabhupada explains that Krishna sometimes puts his devotees into all these, pure devotees into all these different conditions, so that you can see the glory of somebody who's on the highest platform of devotional service. So Prabhupada was on that highest platform of devotional service. So he encourages, okay, there are so many disturbances, okay, the spiritual world is a place where there's no anxiety. But ultimately, when one reaches the stage of Krishna Prema, then one doesn't even care. Let there be disturbances. So what? If I have a mission here, let me execute the mission of my spiritual master.
That's why means person very easy. He's facing a problem, naturally he will try for Krishna Prema. He wants to go then, of course he knows without Krishna Prema he cannot go Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
So that's why when he is having so many mind disturbed, of course he will try to attend Krishna Prema first, naturally. He knows very well that without Krishna Prema he cannot go to Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. So means what I feel that what was his instruction to his disciple, I think it stands for all the people who are consider themselves a conditioned soul. I don't know, like me.
Yeah, I mean, all of Prabhupada's instructions are applicable. So thinking of going back to God is better than thinking of remaining here. But even better than that is to, Prabhupada explains, is to think of attaining Krishna Prema. Different levels.
Because even you see all the great devotees like even Siddhama, he got so much opulent, then he said, he crying to Krishna, please, I will again fall into Maya. So please take care of me, I don't want opulence. Then he said, okay, I am giving assurance, you will not fall into. So even see all the great devotees, even all other, if you read, then they are always hankering that, oh, I will fall into Maya, please Krishna, take care. Even Sukhdev Goswami doesn't want to come back, come out from the womb of the Reki. He's telling you, I will not come, I will fall into Maya. So from this incident, means what I realized that better we get Krishna Prem in this life itself and go back home, back to Godhead. And no need to think even at all to again come back.
No, the point is that you're saying that how Prabhupada and all the great devotees, they pray, they're afraid of Maya. But that is their mood of humility. It's not that they'll actually fall down, because Prabhupada once said, one of his disciples went and asked him after he prayed to the deities, what do you pray? And he said, I prayed that I won't fall down. And Prabhupada sometimes complained, my devout disciples are not enough afraid of Maya. So it's not that Prabhupada would actually fall, but then the point is that that is the mood of a pure devotee. He thinks that he would fall. It's not that, but there's a difference between conditioned souls and the eternally liberated souls. It's not that Sukadeva Goswami would actually fall. But the point is that they're showing by that mood of pure devotional service is there. So the difference between us thinking we will fall, which we will, and the difference between, a pure devotee thinking like that. Yes, Madhuji.
Just in relationship to what the Prabhu was saying before about devotees saying, I want to stay here birth after birth and push on the preaching mission. There was one devotee, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the specific source, whether it was a room conversation or a lecture, I can't remember. But this devotee was a disciple of Prabhupada, was expressing that desire, and Prabhupada said, no, better you go home back to Godhead, otherwise I have to come back and take you back. So we should always have that mood that we want to serve our spiritual master and not cause him unnecessary inconvenience.
Thank you. Yes, bro.
Mentioning that dhanam, janam, sundaram, these are impious desires?
Pious desires.
Dhanam, janam, sundaram.
Pious desires.
Okay. So how do you define piety and impiety?
Dharma, artha, kama. Okay. They're part of the pious desires. Impious desires means which are against the laws of God.
Okay. So what are the laws of God? How do you know what? Because in different scriptures, there are different standards and different instructions. Like even this is a standard that, like you mentioned that, okay, going back to Godhead is good, but better is desiring Krishna prema. So there are different standards. So how do you draw the line that this is pious, this is impious? Like coke is impious and let's say soybean is pious. I mean, how do you define these things?
It's defined by, Prabhupada says, religion means the laws of God. Anything that is irreligious is considered impious.
Okay.
So that's the definition of what is pious and impious. What is, and Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, do not be attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. So that refers to pious. So even that is a distraction. Piety or impiety. Of course, it's better to be pious than impious, definitely. But from the platform of pure devotional service, we're not even supposed to desire for pious things.
That is not my question. My question is regarding the dividing line between piety and impiety. How do you distinguish it? Because like, for example, let's say Manu Samhita says that the Grihastha Dharma is the topmost dharma. Manu Samhita says this.
What, pardon?
The Manu Samhita says that the Grihastha, the household ashram is the topmost ashram. But you know that Prabhupada criticizes.
Okay. I got your question now. Okay. So there are Dharma Shastras.
Yeah.
First of all, we should understand that for everything in the Vedic tradition, there are some shastras. Okay? There is dharma, artha, kama, moksha, right? So you have the kama shastras. It's the lowest. It's a gradation. Okay? Kama shastras are considered the lowest. Then you have artha shastras. Then you have dharma shastras. Then you have bhakti shastras. You have moksha shastras also. Okay? So if you consider the gradation, so when you say pious, that first, it has to at least fit into the category of Dharma Shastras. Whatever fits into the category of Dharma Shastras is Dharma, piety. So that's, it has to fit into the category of at least Dharma Shastras. Then it's considered pious. Yeah, but Manu Samhita is still lower than the Bhakti Shastras. Okay. Okay, well, platforms like? Okay. Okay. No. If somebody says desire for Vaikuntha is impious, I mean, that is because the person has no knowledge. Like Prabhupada gives the example that if within perfection, first of all, we have to understand what is perfection. We don't even know what is perfection. And there are varieties in the perfection. There's perfection and imperfection. Just like he said, once Prabhupada asked this question, that if conjugal rasa is the highest, then why are there other relationships? So Prabhupada said that just like you like your child better than other children, some other child may be better than your child, but still you like your child better than the other children, right? So like that, he said that because that is the nature of love. And whatever is happening in the spiritual world is all perfect realm. whether it is Vaikuntha or whether it is, Krishna Loka or whatever, they're all perfect realms. They're not imperfect realms. So whatever is happening within that realm is not something which is subject to logical analysis. It's not possible to logically analyze those things. We can only analyze between what is imperfect and perfect. Like that. Does that clarify? Yeah, okay.
I have
a question. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
The process, no?
So, yeah.
So what is the difference between pure devotional service and Krishna Prema?
Krishna Prema is the highest level of pure devotional service. Means you go from Shraddha to Prema. You begin pure devotional service with the Shraddha process under the instruction of the spiritual master. For example, for us, Prabhupada founded Acharya, then other Vaishnavas. So we follow under their instructions and you go from Shraddha to Prema. The lowest level is Shraddha. You begin there, then you reach Prema. Yeah, it's a progression. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.